Today we'll look at the Mass readings from the sixth Sunday of Easter. Stay right where you are. We begin now. Hey, welcome to the program. Today is Friday. My name is Gary Zimek, and I saved a seat for you right here in the front. I hope you have your beverage, hope you have your snack, and hope you're ready to talk about Jesus for the next 30 minutes. Here's what we're going to do this week. We are going to strictly talk about the Mass readings for Sunday, the sixth Sunday of Easter. Typically, I've been going back and forth on this idea. Do I devote the whole show to the Mass readings? Because it is important, and I don't really like to rush through them, because this is the Lord speaking directly to us. So, from time to time, I think what I'll do is, especially on our Friday show when we look at the Sunday Mass readings, I'm just going to take my time, and we're going to talk about sacred scripture. We're going to really look at these Mass readings, take our time, and let the Lord speak directly to us. I hope that works for you. If it doesn't, let me know, Gary@followingthetruth.com. We're going to try our best to make sure that we, I want to please everybody with this show. You can't always do that, but I'm going to try to do my best to help you get to know Jesus. One of the benefits of the new book that I have written, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, is that I've been doing a lot of radio interviews and a lot of speaking about Jesus Christ, about getting to know him as a person. And I'll tell you what, I love talking about Jesus. I love talking about friendship with him. I love talking about the relationship that we can have with him, the relationship with which leads us into a relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. That's a pretty cool thing, and that's something that can easily be very intimidating for us. If it was not for Jesus coming to earth and showing us the visible face of an invisible God. Remember, God is invisible. He's pure spirit. So it's difficult for us to envision God, our Heavenly Father. Jesus refers to him as Father, and he gives us some idea about God because he says to us, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Really great thing for us. It's a great blessing for us to be able to know God, our Heavenly Father. The relationship with Jesus concept, it can be a little confusing. It can be a little intimidating, too. I mean, we struggle with the idea of having a relationship with God our Father, but we can also struggle with the idea of having a personal relationship with Jesus. And I had the benefit of talking with Dave Palmer. Dave's a friend of mine who does a show on the Guadalupe Radio Network. We were talking this morning. I was doing an interview with Dave, talking about the idea of becoming friends with Jesus. We are already in a relationship with the Lord. Whether we know it or not, we are. But do we have a good relationship with him? And that's where it comes, where it becomes important for us to do something. We can't just sit back and let that relationship magically happen. It doesn't work that way. A relationship requires us to do something. There's no doubt Jesus works at the relationship. He has a relationship with us, but are we participating in that relationship? It's entirely possible for us to receive him each week in Holy Communion. I mean, we're talking about people who go to church each week and receive the Eucharist. It's possible for them to not have a good quality relationship with Jesus. So what do we do? How do we turn this around? As I told Dave, as I say in my book, it starts with a desire. I have to have a desire to get to know Jesus. And then there are a series of steps that we can follow. And I'm telling you, I go through these steps in the book. I have a chapter on each of the 10 amazingly easy steps, because they really are that amazingly easy. If you begin to put these steps, if you begin to take these steps in your life, you will get closer to Jesus. How close you will get to him and how well you will get to know him depends on how seriously you take it. But if you talk to him every day, if you read his words in sacred scripture and let him speak to you, if you help the poor, if you receive the sacraments, if you do things like this, you will start to have a good quality personal relationship with Jesus. But it does require work on your part. And part of another thing that would help is to spend time in his real presence. So if you can visit a church, if you can visit an adoration chapel, and you spend some time with him, if you turn to his mother, and your mother as well, the Blessed Mother, and you ask for her help, these are things you could do. If you can unite your suffering to his suffering, you do these things, and you will get to know Jesus, as long as you get to do them, as long as you continue to do them on a regular basis. So I can say that with all confidence, because I know what Jesus does. I know the effect of growing close to him and asking him for his help. He's going to draw close to you, and you're going to be able to experience a better relationship with him. And it really doesn't depend on you. I know what he can do. So if you start talking to him and inviting him into your life, guess what? He's going to respond, and you will get to know him better. So keep that in mind, and I tell you, I love talking about him. That's why I love doing this program, because I just get to kick back for 30 minutes and talk about Jesus. When we talk tonight about the scripture readings for Sunday's Mass, you're going to hear the Lord speak to you. So it's a really good thing. It's a really good thing that we're able to do this, and I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful we can do the show, which leads me to, once again, I know I say this a lot, but I really mean this. Thank you. Thank you for your financial contributions. I am not kidding when I say that if it was not for your help, I would not be here. This program wouldn't exist. My full-time ministry cannot possibly exist without your help. So I thank you so much for that help, for that financial help, for the faith that you place in me. Obviously, you trust me with your donations, and I'm really grateful for that, because I need your funding. I used to be hesitant to ask for money. I still don't like it, but here's what I need. I need to do my best. I need to do my best to make sure that I am giving it my best shot to work, to continue my ministry. And that's why I have to ask you for your donation. So I'm not going to say a lot, but please continue to take it seriously. If you can help me out, I really need the help. Please visit followingthetruth.com. Click on the donate tab. And I'm in particular, I'm talking to directly to you if you've never donated before. If you can you maybe swing $10 a month? If you can, I understand. But if you can, it's really easy to think that somebody else will do it, but that other person isn't doing it. And that's why I need you to help me out. $10 a month, it's 33 cents a day. Could you just try it for 1 month and see how it works out? And you could do that today. And I would ask you to do it today. If you feel the Lord moving you to do this, if you like what you hear on this program, you want it to continue, please visit followingthetruth.com, click on the donate tab, and become a monthly subscriber to my work. $10 a month. If you can do more, please, by all means, do more. But, you know, you could cancel it next month if you don't, if you're not satisfied, if you feel that it's hurting you financially. But sometimes we need to take a stand. Sometimes we need to ask for help. And for somebody like me, it's not easy. But the more I work for the Lord, the more I realize I love him. I want the word to get out there. And I can't do it. My financial resources are being depleted, and I've been in full-time ministry for over 4 years now, and I've had to dip into whatever little reserve that I've had, that I have, in order to keep afloat. So if you're able to help me out, if you can do that for me tonight, $10 a month, or if you can do more, I'd be very grateful. Followingthetruth.com, just click on the donate tab. Also, if you're somebody who already gives maybe each month, you can give a one-time donation. That would help me too. Maybe a little bit extra. That would really come in handy. You can do that also from the donate tab. And as I've mentioned before, if you're someone who shops from Amazon.com, if you would just use the link on my website, right from followingthetruth.com, to go into Amazon.com, you'll see on the right-hand side of each page of my website, you'll see an Amazon image. Click on that. That takes you into Amazon. The fact that you came from my website flags anything that you purchase so that I get a commission based on your purchase prices. And don't worry, I don't get to see. I know it can be a little, it almost seems like it's invading your privacy, but I don't see what you purchase. I just see the total. And I would really, really appreciate that. And if you let your friends know about that, That's a very easy way to help me out and fund this program financially. Finally, if you're a coffee lover like me, Mystic Monk Coffee is the best coffee that you've ever had. I tell you, it's amazing stuff. You can purchase Mystic Monk Coffee from followingthetruth.com as well. Click on the Mystic Monk image on my website. Takes you into the monk's website. And again, I get a commission based on anything that you purchase. So that's the business. Also, please keep praying for me. Keep praying for my work. It's so important. It's critical in order to keep this work going. I'm doing my best. If you could help me out, I would really, really appreciate it. This leads me into the beverage du jour of the day. You ready? Wait a minute, Gary. That sounds like Mystic Monk Coffee, but what kind could it be? Let me try again. Could that be the amazingly delicious Pasca Java? Well, that is correct. That's what it is. I've got my Mystic Monk Coffee, Pasca Java, drinking it from my Mother Angelica coffee mug today. Tell you what, I am all set. I hope you got a great beverage. Hope you got a great snack. And I hope you're ready to get started. And again, thank you for listening to me when I have to talk about this money situation, but I want this show to continue. I care about you. I care about you, and I want to be here for you, but I can't continue without your financial support. Also, please, the prayers are critical. Pray for me, for my work, and be assured that I'm praying for you every day. All right, speaking of prayer, right now I want to turn to our Heavenly Father, and I want to ask Him to help us, and to thank Him too for the many great gifts that He gives to us each and every day. So wherever you are, let's just pause a minute and let's thank our Heavenly Father. And well, you know what? This is how you have a relationship with Him. Prayer is how you have a relationship with the Lord. So when you're praying to Him, you are communicating with Him. And this is how the relationship starts. Remember, He's already in a relationship with you. He created you. But we enter into this relationship voluntarily with Him. It's not going to happen. He's not going to force us to enter into a relationship with Him. He's already working on us. He loves us. He created us. Now, it's up to us to turn to Him and have that relationship with Him. And you know what? To anybody who is anxious, this is the secret of peace. If you want peace in your life, you enter into a relationship with the Lord. Talk to Him throughout the day. I'm telling you, it is a magical thing. It's incredible. The supernatural peace that He gives us is an incredible gift. So with that in mind, let's pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, we are completely in awe of your goodness. We can't believe sometimes just how much you love us. When we struggle to love other people in an unconditional manner, it makes it hard for us to believe that you love us no matter what we say or do. But you do. You created us completely out of love. You didn't need us, but you created us. You created us to live with you forever in heaven. However, until that happens, it's necessary that we live on this earth. And we know that we can still have a relationship with you, even prior to living in heaven. And we know we can experience your joy and your peace. So we thank you for allowing that to be possible. We acknowledge the fact that no matter what happens to us throughout the day, that's an expression of your love for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for sending us our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for letting Him come to earth, become one of us, and suffer and die so that we could go to heaven one day. Thank you for all of the teaching given to us by Jesus. Through Jesus, we've learned about you, Father. Through Jesus, we've learned just how much you love us. Through Jesus, we've learned what we want, what we should be doing in our lives in order to please you. So we thank you for that great gift. We thank you for the gift of your church, the sacraments. which give us the grace that we need to rise above any sinful inclinations that we have and continue on the path that leads to heavenly life. Father, we ask you to bless us and our families and those around us. Grant us the strength to be a light shining in the darkness. Please increase the gifts of the Holy Spirit inside of us so that we may better be able to draw people close to you. Please help anyone who is sick. We know so many people who are sick, Father. We ask you to please help them. Please help anybody who is lonely. Please help anybody who is anxious. Help those struggling with doubt or despair. Help those dealing with addictions. Let them know that you love them. Let them know that there's always hope. Please help those who are dealing with extreme weather conditions, as well as those who are struggling financially. Please help them, grant them your peace, and let them not lose hope. Father, we ask that you put an end to the evil act of abortion. We ask that you increase vocations to the priesthood, to the religious life, to the diaconate. We present to you our own needs, whatever they may be. We all have them. We give them to you, and we ask you to help us with them. We know that you will never give us anything that's bad, that can hurt us spiritually. But we ask for what we think we need, and we trust that you'll give us what we really do need. We thank you in advance for answering our prayers. And Father, I give this program to you. I give this program to you and ask you to take it over for me, to speak through me today. May your Spirit come alive inside of me so that I can proclaim the message that you have for us today. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to that message. And we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And as we do each day, we now turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her help as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Catherine of Siena, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, I threw St. Catherine of Siena in there because today is her feast, her memorial. St. Catherine of Siena is a doctor of the Church, and she's a very powerful intercessor. So, let's continue to ask for her help, and for the help of all the saints, in particular the Blessed Mother and St. Joseph, so that they can help us to end up where they are, right? That's where we want to be. We want to be in heaven, and we need their help so that we can get there. It's not easy sometimes, is it? All right. My name is Gary Zimek. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to do the Sunday Mass readings now, Sunday of the sixth Sunday of Easter. We are nearing the end of the Easter season. We got one more Sunday of Easter, and then we're going to have Pentecost Sunday. So we're 2 weeks away, more or less, from Pentecost. That brings to a close the Easter season. So continue to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord. You know, this is a big thing, especially if you're someone who, like me, has a little bit of a tendency to get down at times. We need to focus on the fact that the Lord rose from the dead, that there is always hope, and that this life is not the end of the story. If it was, yeah, we could be in trouble, but it's not. Not even close. So we need to kind of change our awareness and become focused on reality. What's reality? That our lives last much longer than our time on earth. The trick is we want to make sure we get to the right place, heaven. Amen? All right. We do this program every Monday through Friday at 8, well, I say 8 p.m., but the show generally goes up around 8 p.m., gets loaded up as a podcast. I don't stick strictly to the 8 p.m. anymore, but I'm so used to saying that it slips out sometime. Every evening, Monday through Friday, on Blog Talk Radio. There are three ways to listen to the show right now. There are going to be more. I have to investigate this. There are some new podcasting services that I'm able to get my program in, so I think I'm going to start doing that. Right now, iTunes is one way. Blog Talk Radio is another way. BlogTalkRadio.com. Just search for The Gary Zimek Show. And the third way is directly from my website, followingthetruth.com. So if you're there looking around, watching some videos, looking at my books, making a donation perhaps, whatever you're doing, just go to the radio page and you'll see a little Blog Talk Radio player. You can play the last five programs right from the website. So plenty of different ways to get to the show. And again, I'm working on some other things. I want to put it in some of these other services that you can download it. You can use an app to download the program to listen wherever you go. But stay tuned for that. I'll keep you posted. All right, sixth Sunday of Easter. We're continuing. The first reading from Sunday's Mass is from the Acts of the Apostles. This will sound familiar because we read it during the week. This is, remember, what's happening here. We've got a controversy in the early church. There are some Christians saying that Gentiles must first be circumcised and follow the Mosaic law, in essence, becoming Jewish to become Christian. It sounds like a no-brainer for us. Well, we look at that and we say, that doesn't make sense. But remember, the church is struggling. The church is in her infancy at this point. Christ had ascended to heaven not too long ago, and St. Peter and the apostles, as the leaders of the church, are trying to work out the answers to some tricky questions. And what was decided is that they would meet in Jerusalem, the apostles, along with Paul and Barnabas. They were going to meet and render a decision about this circumcision question. Well, we're going to hear about that today. This was the first church council, the Council of Jerusalem. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Some who had come down from Judea were instructing the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the Mosaic practice, you cannot be saved." Because there arose no little dissension and debate by Paul and Barnabas with them, it was decided that Paul, Barnabas, and some of the others should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. The apostles and elders, in agreement with the whole church, decided to choose representatives and to send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The ones chosen were Judas, who was called Barsabbas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. This is the letter delivered by them. The apostles and their elders, your brothers, to the brothers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia of Gentile origin, greetings. Since we have heard that some of our number who went out without any mandate from us have upset you with their teachings and disturbed your peace of mind, we have with one accord decided to choose representatives and to send them to you along with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, who have dedicated their lives to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are sending Judas and Silas, who will convey this same message by word of mouth. It is the decision of the Holy Spirit and not of us, not to place on you any burden beyond these necessities, namely to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meats of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. If you keep free of these, you will be doing what is right. Farewell. So we see again an image of what was taking place in the early church. There was a question. Do Gentiles have to be circumcised before they can become Christians? The leaders of the church met, and they met and under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they made a decision. The decision was that circumcision was not necessary. And then they delivered this to the church in Antioch. This is where the question had arisen. So this is a great example of the leadership of the church, the Holy Spirit working through the church. And we should be very grateful as Catholics that we have this power working within our church. The Lord still speaks through his church. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 67, O God, let all nations praise you. May God have pity on us and bless us. May he let his face shine upon us. So may your way be known upon earth among all nations, your salvation. May the nations be glad and exult, because you rule the peoples in equity. The nations on the earth you guide. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May God bless us, and may all the ends of the earth fear him. We see the church beginning to expand, right? It starts out small, and then it starts expanding to the Gentile countries. Now the church is in Jerusalem and in Antioch, and it's going to grow and grow and grow, eventually making its way to Rome, and now the church is worldwide. This is the power of the Lord, and this is what he can do. And there is no way that any man-made institution could spread like the church did and still be vibrant and alive today. That's a great thing. This is a divine institution. The church is a divine institution. And we need to look at her that way, not as a bureaucracy, which sometimes, unfortunately, people look at the church as. The church is a divine institution. The second reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, beginning in verse 10. The angel took me in spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It gleamed with the splendor of God. Its radiance was that like that of a precious stone, like jasper, clear as crystal. It had a massive high wall with 12 gates, where 12 angels were stationed, and on which names were inscribed, the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. There were 3 gates facing east, 3 north, 3 south, and 3 west. The wall of the city had 12 courses of stones as its foundation, on which were inscribed the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. The city had no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gave it light, and its lamp was the Lamb. What we see here is a picture, a vision of the church built upon the foundation of the apostles. Christ picked 12 incredibly unlikely men. Now, Judas didn't stick around till the end. He was replaced by Matthias, so we're back to that number of 12. These are the guys Christ chose to lead his church. And guess what? It worked. Despite the odds, despite it being a long shot because they were complete boobs, right? If he can use them, he can use us. That is very comforting. Sunday's Gospel, John 14, verses 23 through 29, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have told you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away, and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." We see this evidence. Now, remember, as we are heading toward Pentecost, you're going to hear more and more talk about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit first descended upon the apostles at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is active in the church. So because of the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we saw that evidence in the first reading today, the church can make authoritative decisions fulfilling the will of the Lord. So even though Jesus has ascended, he's in heaven, he sent his Spirit, and the Spirit protects the church from ever teaching in error. You know what? This is something to get really excited about. You know with confidence that if the church speaks in an official capacity, and I'm talking about the Heavenly Father, the Holy Father, in union with the bishops, then you can count on the message being accurate and being the truth. Praise God for the church. It's a wonderful thing. All right, I am out of time. I hope you have a wonderful week. And God willing, we're going to be back here on Monday. I hope you can join me. Until then, remember, I'm praying for you. Please pray for me, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart. God bless you.